I'm excited to continue our series today. Hopefully everybody got a handout on your way in. If you did not get one, wave your hand, and Mr. Rico will be happy to make sure you get one into your hand. You're going to want that today, as we have a lot to talk about in this series called Multiply, the Key to Living in God's Blessing. Well, Jesus, not only do we pray for, Lord, believers around the world, but we pray, Lord, right now for our own hearts. God, may we just listen in to what it is that you're wanting to challenge us with today. How you're wanting to encourage us. How you're wanting to inform us. Lord, that we would not only grow in knowledge and in wisdom, but in passion. Lord Jesus, to see your kingdom work advance in the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Help us right now, today. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, right in the beginning of your notes, you're going to see that there's a little fill-in. We're going to get going right there. The advance of God's kingdom is fueled by generosity. The advance of God's kingdom is fueled by generosity. And listen, it does not matter whether you are giving or being generous with your time, your talent, or your treasure. That's the fuel that advances what God is doing in the world. It is all through generous giving. That's the fuel that advances God's kingdom work. Now, the beautiful thing is that our generosity, like, cannot compare to the generosity of God. He has things for us that he so wants to just bless us with. His joy, his peace, his protection, his provision, all of his blessing. He just wants to pour that out. So no matter how generous we are, we cannot even come close to matching the generosity of God. And what we've been seeing over the past number of weeks is that as we bless others, God's promises is that he's going to pour out his blessing on us. That, like, we're never going to be left without. When we say, yes, God, I want to take this blessing that you have given me and I want to sow it into the lives of others, what we see time and time again through Scripture is God's promise to those who are generous, to those who are fueling God's kingdom work, I'm going to just pour out more and more blessing on you. And we've been calling this the cycle of God's blessing. As we sow into the lives of others, allowing them to experience God's blessing, God then in turn causes us to be blessed. There's this sowing, and then there's reaping. There's giving, and then there's this harvest that God wants to bring back to us. But too many people just get satisfied with, I just want to be fruitful. I don't want to give. I don't want to multiply it. I just want it for myself. And so this series really has been challenging us to, like, not only be fruitful, but to multiply, to give, to allow what God has given us to spread through all those around us, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, and even as we've been talking about today, all around the world. So, over the past weeks, we've seen that there are many different ways that we can multiply. Lots of different things that we can give. And lots of those don't require any money to be involved. And you can go back in this series and listen, we've talked about many different things that we can sow that aren't going to impact our pocketbook or our bank account. But last week, we began a conversation about financial generosity, and we looked at what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about why our generosity should include finances, and then even how to begin moving in that direction. So today, we're going to be continuing that conversation by making it very personal. We're going to talk about where we are financially just as a church family. Where are we as the Santa Maria Foursquare Church regarding finances? But then I want to give you a vision for, I believe, how we might be challenged to stretch in our giving, to stretch in our generosity, both personally and as a church, to see what God might do to advance his kingdom work through us individually and as a church family. But first, I want to just like take this moment to answer the question, why is my financial generosity so important? Why is it so important? Now, we talked about it last week, but it's like, listen, if I can give of my time, my talent, or my treasure, listen, if I pick 2 out of 3, isn't that still pretty darn generous? Then leave my wallet alone, right? Can I be generous just in other ways? Well, we began today's message a moment ago with this statement, the advance of God's kingdom is fueled by generosity. But I want to take it a step further. The next statement right here, check this out. The sustained advance of God's kingdom requires the fuel of financial generosity. In other words, we can do like one-off things that may not require finances. We can give of our time or talent. We can use a spiritual gift or whatever to advance something that God is wanting to do in that moment. Those are beautiful and those are important. We should be doing them all the time. But to create something of a sustained movement where God is like actively working ongoing, like in a situation or in a place, in a community, like in a church, or like in a missions endeavor, like we were talking about, whether it's in southern Mexico or different places of the world, wherever there's a sustained work of God's kingdom activity, I'm telling you, it is always going to require not just time and talent, but it's going to require treasure. You know who taught us this? Jesus did. Jesus did. There on your notes, you're going to see a passage of scripture. Matthew 10:11-14. Jesus was just sending out the very first missionaries. You might remember this. Different gospels share this story about how he sent them off 2 by 2 into the towns and villages, cities, you know, around where they were. He told them, like, go preach the gospel. Go pray for people who are sick. Go raise the dead. I mean, he was like, go get after it, right? Go do kingdom work. But he had this requirement. He said this. He said, you may take no money with you. What? Okay, you're sending it out as missionaries, but you're telling us we can't take any money with you? How is this going to work? How is this going to be sustained? Peter's like, how am I going to eat? What's the plan here, Jesus? So then we get to verse 11-14 in Matthew 10, and this is what Jesus says. Whenever you enter a city or village, search for a worthy person. Do me a favor, just circle the word worthy. We're going to come back to that. Search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. Listen, we've been talking over these past weeks about the key to living in God's blessing. When someone opened their home to the gospel advance as the disciples came into town, you know what they received? God's blessing. And he goes on, he says, if it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it is not, take back the blessing. Aye. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. Do you know what Jesus is teaching us here? What he's modeling is that the entire advance of the gospel is fueled by other people's generosity. P- people willing to give financially, and in this situation, even open their homes to advance the work of God. And notice that Jesus called these people worthy. Wow, Jesus, what do you mean by that? You know what they were worthy of? They were worthy to receive God's blessing. This is the same pattern and model that we've been seeing over and over and over again through Scripture. And as you're like going through the New Testament, doing your 260 reading, you're going to start seeing it all over the place. God's blessing flows to those who are generous. And even to the measure that we give, that's the same measure God is going to pour back blessing and resource upon us. It's this incredible promise of God, and here we're seeing it again in Matthew with these first missionaries. But notice what happens when no one gives. Notice what happens when no one is willing to extend generosity, opening up their hearts, their homes, and saying, hey, I want to be part of what God is doing here in my community. Look what happens. The entire community misses out on the blessing of God. That's intense. The entire community misses out on what God had intended to do, to move in grace and love and power and bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus. The entire community misses out when someone does not step up and step out and say, I'll be generous. I'll give to make that happen. I'll sow into that particular area to make it happen. The entire tribe misses out. Think about the children that missed out because no one in that town or village or city opened their hearts and their homes and said, I'll be generous. Think about the moms and dads. Think about the grandmas and grandpas. Think about those who were without. Think about everyone who missed out on the blessing of God because someone didn't step up. The kingdom of God advances through generosity. But the gospel didn't just spread by those who opened their homes. The gospel advanced by people who opened their wallets as well. In fact, several places in the New Testament were told, and I love this, specific people's names who were generous. I love that. You know, Jesus said this thing about like, hey, when you give, like don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. I kind of grew up with that mentality, though, all giving should be done in secret. You know what? That's not what Jesus was saying. You know what he was saying? He was saying, don't brag about it. Don't like, hey, yo, look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm a giver. He was saying, don't let that get into your heart. Like, nah, like you need to keep the secret from yourself. But you know what? We know the names thousands of years later of people who are generous to advance the work of God. It was in Luke chapter 8 that Luke is saying, hey, the disciples and Jesus were traveling all around, but he said, but do you realize that there was a bunch of women with them? And he mentions three by name, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And you know what Luke says in chapter 8, in the first few verses? He says, these women were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. The gospel spread because of these women's generosity. Are you catching this? Paul, in Romans 16, in the beginning verses, he talks about another woman named Phoebe, who he says was his benefactor. Someone who sowed financially and generously. If you're like reading the book of Romans and go, man, this is good, and we're going to start there real soon in our 260 reading. So like when you start reading Romans, you know what you need to say? Thank you, Phoebe, that I have the book of Romans in my hands today. Because of her generosity, Paul's ministry was advanced. And then in Acts chapter 4, as the church just was beginning, we know that a guy named Barnabas went and sold one of his properties. Maybe he had a bunch. I don't know. Maybe it was his only one. I don't know. But it says that he sold a field. He sold a property, and he brought that money to the feet of the apostles. You know what he was doing? He was advancing the work of the church. And he said, I want to turn this property into gospel initiative. Would you take this and use this? I'm telling you guys, we know the names of generous people who stepped up and said, I want to fund what God is doing in the world. I tell you, I am so grateful and so thankful for generations of generous people here at the Santa Maria Foursquare Church. Now, we're like 96 years into our story. Do you think we would have gotten here if it hadn't been for generous people who gave generously, sacrificially, some actually giving properties and saying, hey, I want to turn this into gospel kingdom activity. May that continue. I am so grateful for the generations that have done that before us. How are we doing right now? I want to give you a snapshot of like where we are as a church financially today. You ready? Go ahead and put it up on the screen. This is how we wrapped up 2023. We had budgeted just over $700,000 for everything that we do, like as a church. All of our regular ministries, everything that you see us doing was out of that $702,000. We received a little bit less than that, $698,000, but we expended even less, $689,000. So that left us with a difference of just over $9,000 in the positive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I want you to see that the only reason we came out positive last year is because we didn't spend everything that we budgeted. We spent about $12,000 less than we had planned to. That was the only reason that we were able to end last year in the black. But that's a good thing. But I do want to make you aware that over the past several years, there's kind of been this trend, this slight trend year over year down with financial giving. So I was going back and looking at the last 4 years because 4 years ago, 4 years before the 2023 numbers I just showed you, That was our year before COVID. So since that year, in 4 years, we have dropped about $39,000 a year in annual giving. And that's substantial. That's about a 6.5% decline in financial giving over these past 4 years. And it's kind of been this little trickle downwards. Guys, that's not sustainable. If we're going to continue to advance and even grow what God wants to do in his kingdom activity right here, right in our community, in our neighborhood, and in our world, it's going to require us to do something different. And here's the good news, that this year, taking a look at where we are today, looking at just where we are after the first third of the year, right, January, February, March, and April, we are doing well. We are actually, at the end of April, we were $19,000 in giving more than we had been at the same time a year prior. So praise the Lord for that. Let's reverse the trends, right? Let's say, God, we want to do more. So we need more fuel to advance your kingdom work. Not just here at the Santa Maria Foursquare Church, but through us. And I know I've shared this before, but out of what is given, we do our best to be as generous as possible. So we partner, like right on our campus, with a number of different ministries and organizations, Fighting Back Santa Maria, our county. We do this. We host supervised visits. We have a space out by the playground where, like, actually the county is here every single week. I'm working right here on our campus. You know, the food bank is here regularly giving food out from our facility to seniors in the area. And in addition, we partner every single week with the Central Coast Rescue Mission, and they also get food from the food bank, but we're able to distribute that for free to our neighbors. And very often we have over 100 families here represented on Thursday afternoons getting food right here. And then we look for more ways to do it. I mean, last year, I mean, we gave coats like to all the, 100 and more neighbors like in our community. We are consistently working, friends, to like find ways to be generous. Every single month, we give $900, $300 to Central Coast Rescue Mission, $300 to CareNet, $300 to Be Strong, which is a ministry that is going on in the high schools in our region. Listen, we are consistently looking at how can we share generosity and be part of what God is doing. And I'm blessed by that. But you're like, okay, so how do we get all that money? If you said we budgeted $702,000 last year, where does that come from? Like, do we have a few like really rich people who are just like writing big fat checks? Well, no, we don't. We have a lot of people who give what they are able. So I'm gonna share with you who gives. You ready? You ready to see your name up here? Actually, we're not giving any name. No names. In fact, I am going to share the numbers. Going to share the numbers. And maybe you can self-identify with what's up here on the screen of like, oh, I think maybe I fit into that category. Or maybe like, man, I need to get on the board. Maybe you're someone, and we have a lot of people who come, I think even probably consistently to the Santa Maria Four Square Church who have not yet said, I want to give here. I want to be generous. I want to contribute. I want to fuel God's kingdom activity here at the Santa Maria Four Score Church. But this is kind of the breakdown of what we see. We got 161, what we would call households. That could be single givers, or it could be like a family unit. We got 161 in 2023 that we know of that contributed. And this is just the breakdown. 49%, 79 of those givers were in that category of they gave between 35 cents. That was the two widows' mites right there. 35 cents, just under $1,000. So that's like $83 a month or less is what that breaks down to. And that's about half of the people who give are in that range. And then 38 givers are giving between $1,000 and $5,000, that's kind of up to maybe about $400 a month or less. There's 28 givers who give between $5,000 and $10,000 a year or month. And you might say, well, that sounds like a lot of money. That's about $800 or less per month. Then there's 12 people who are giving up to $1,250 a month. Then there are four giving units, families or singles, who are giving more than $1,250 a month. I don't think we have any uber rich people in our congregation, but you know what? Honestly, I don't know because I don't know the names associated with these numbers. That's not what I do as a pastor. But I do get the overall picture. And what I want to tell you about this list is this. None of this indicates generosity. But it may indicate a lot of generosity because we don't know the stories attached to any of those numbers. So there may be someone who you say, those people that maybe not contributing a huge amount, they may be extraordinarily generous because you don't know their story. I don't know their story unless they've told me. There may be some extraordinarily generous people on this, and yet there also might be some people, even in the upper giving ranges, that are like, that's not generous at all. Because it's not really costing them. Maybe they've got a lot, and so they're giving a little here, giving a little there. But what this does give is it gives a picture of where we are. And my heart is, God, how might those who are in any of these categories, or maybe not even in a category because they're not yet giving. God, how might you use us to stretch? God, maybe I see myself in one of those places right now. God, what would it look like? And how cool would it be That the next time we reflect on these numbers together, that God, like, I'm like in a whole different category. And I'm moving towards greater and greater generosity. Because you know what God's word says? As we do that, you know what happens? We're blessed. Not only are other people blessed as we give with the fuel of that resource to advance God's work, but God is watching, and he's the one who does the blessing. So, how might we stretch our generosity? If you're someone who says, God, I really, you could go ahead and take down that slide. How might I be someone who will grow in this grace of giving that the Apostle Paul talks about? If I want to grow in my faith, if I want to grow in my ministry, God, how might I also grow in this grace of giving? So I want to show you something. It's there on your handout today. It's an image. It's a picture. Now, most of us in this room have some space within our home that we call the living room. But maybe not everybody. Everybody's living situation is different. But you know what we all have? Even if you don't have a living room, you have one of these. This is what I'm calling the giving room. This is the giving room. And every single one of us has a giving room. And it's kind of right here in our heart. And we're not going to talk today about how you want to decorate your giving room. You can decorate it however you want. You might have some missions on the wall. You might have some passions, some things that you want to give to. Kelly and I, man, we give through Compassion International, sponsoring a child. I mean, there may be ways that you want to decorate your giving room. That's cool, and that's for you. Like, what are you going to put in your giving room? But here's what I want to just talk about for the next few minutes. I want to talk about the floor, and I want to talk about the ceiling. See, here's the deal. Go to that next slide. The height of your room is the level of your generosity. It's actually measurable. And I think you could even call these not inches or feet, but generosity units, little GUs. That's like the measure of my generosity is like, what's my floor? What's my ceiling? And as I like get out the little generosity tape measure and look, right, in my situation, I'm not comparing it to someone else's. I'm not looking back at that list and saying, well, that person must have a lot more. No, I have no idea. But when we look at our situation, we can measure our generosity, okay? Little GUs. Now, what is the floor? Go to that next slide. The floor is our bottom line. And the bottom line is really simply, it's my income, whatever is coming in, minus my expenses, whatever is flowing out. It's like, that's my bottom line. Last week, we looked at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:12, says, give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And we talked about the fact that we need to do the math if we're ever going to move to generosity. Like, we actually have to know what's going on in our accounts. If you are not using some kind of a budget, friends, can I tell you? You're nuts. You've got to be able to know what's coming in and what's going out. And if you're not doing this, if you're married and you're not, like, figuring this out together, sharing, like, you know, like, hey, you're bringing in this much, I'm bringing in this much, we have this much coming from some other source. If you're not doing that together and then saying, and then this is what is flowing out of our home, you have no idea kind of where your bottom line is. And we've got to get to our bottom line to understand, because without any understanding of that, there's actual no way to measure, God, am I even being generous? We have no idea if we don't do the math, and that's where we get to the floor, the bottom line. Well, what's the ceiling? The ceiling is what I have pre-decided to give. Pre-decided. And again, this is based on what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 9:7, when he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Can I tell you that every single one of us has some predetermined number? Maybe it's a dollar figure, maybe it's a percentage, but every single one of us has a predetermined idea, a decision of where my giving should be. Here's what I want to do, God. And then we base that on all kinds of different things. But every single one of us has, it's somewhere between zero and infinity, right? And we can say, God, I want to give you everything. But it's like, again, if we don't do the math, we'll never even know what that looks like. My encouragement is that we would be challenged and stretched in our faith to like actually grow this. Because you know what happens to someone who like has not done the work of figuring out like, God, here's my bottom line, but here's where I want to go. Go ahead and put that next slide up. There are some people whose giving room is so short that it is literally crushing them and crushing their opportunity to be generous. Do you know why? Because if there's no room, if there's no space, they're in that in your giving room. If the ceiling is touching the floor, there's a problem. Because if there is no room for generosity, you know what we're seeing in God's word? There's also no room for him to come in and flood your space with his blessing. But there are others whose giving room looks more like this. Go ahead and put up that next slide. Woo! There are others whose giving room is spacious. Because the area between the bottom line and what they've pre-decided to give has created this massive space. It's just expansive. And with so much room to be generous, you know what there's also room for? So much of God's blessing to flood that environment. So I want you to just pause for a moment and say, God, if right now, and some of you may not know your bottom line. Some of you may not have pre-decided in your heart, God, this is where I want to go with my giving. I may not be able to start there today, but this is where I want to be. This is my heart. This is where I'm moving to with my generosity. I'm telling you, I want each of us to pause for a moment and just think, how high is my giving room? What's the ceiling height? Kelly and I love watching Fixer Upper shows. You know what no one wants to do? Lower their ceiling. If they're remodeling, you know what they want to do? Hey, can we raise this? Is there a way to raise the roof on this project? Because you know why? It feels good. No one wants to be living in that crushed, tight, dark, cramped space. Everyone wants to be in that spacious environment. And this is a simple way to measure our generosity. Again, not compared with anybody else's generosity. This is for you. So think for a moment. If I had to measure my own giving via generosity units, what would it look like? And how could I raise it? How could I create more space here? So if you flip over the page, this is going to be a speed round. All of these are very, very brief. And then I'm going to introduce you to someone in our church who's kind of a Barnabas. I'm going to introduce you to someone who is generous, and you're going to know his name. First, there's only two ways to increase the height. You can either lower the floor or you can raise the roof. You ready? Three ideas for each. How can we lower the floor? There's only three ways we can do it. Number one, we can increase our income. Praise the Lord. And some of you are looking at me cross-eyed like, how are we supposed to do that? Like, we're retired, we are on a fixed income. How is it even possible for there to be an increase? Or I've been in this job for so long and I know that there's no room for advancement. I know that. You know what? Can I just tell you, just pause for a second. There is nothing impossible with God. I don't know how he is going to do it. And I am not encouraging you to like go be a slave to your employer. Don't like work 90 hours a week to try. I'm just saying, would you bring it to the Lord and say, God, I want to like lower the floor to create more space for generosity. God, I need more income here. Would you begin to like talk to God about it? Say, God, what would you do to provide that I might pre-decide? We're going to get to that in a moment, but pre-decide, God, if you give, I'm going to give. As you give, Lord, I'm going to give. So that's one way, right? There's another way. We can reduce expenses. That's the second way that we can lower the floor. Kelly and I, right now, we're in this like long conversation about how can we get out of our cable bundle? It's killing us. We hate this. It's like, you know, they're just not in it for me. I can tell you that. They're not in it for the kingdom. They're in it for their bottom line. And they're like raising their rates and hate it. So we're talking about how we can get out from under that. A year ago, we made a decision to like put solar in our home because over the long run, it should save a lot of money to the bottom line. God, if you would allow me to decrease my expenses, give up something, sacrifice something, not purchase something, I don't know. God, would you do that so that I could be more generous? Third way, kill debt. Kill debt. Debt is the greatest burden to our bottom line. It is it's like a ball and chain. And you know that there's almost $17 million of consumer debt in the United States right now? $17 million? Listen, the average American has $23,000 of consumer debt, not including mortgages, not including personal. If you add in a home, it goes up to well over $100,000 of consumer debt per American. But the average American has $23,000. That's things like credit cards, auto loans, student debt, and personal debt. You know, that $23,000 of consumer debt, it's killing our ability to be generous. So how do we lower the floor to create more space, increase our income, reduce expenses, kill debt, kill it? Let's go to the other side. Let's talk about the ceiling. How can we raise the roof? Now, last week, if you did not hear last week's message, I really urge you to go back and check it out on YouTube or listen to the podcast. In there, we talked about five different reasons that Paul says that we should raise the roof. Paul talks five different things about why generosity is important and why as believers, people of faith, people who are following Jesus, should have as part of their faith saying this, God, I want to be generous. But I want to give you three more things that are, I believe, just hardcore, practical things that you could go home and do today, or at least start today. You ready? Number one, pray. Pray. Like if you take in your finances and say, God, I surrender these to you. God, just like I've been baptized, I now take my checkbook or my iPhone with my PayPal or Venmo or whatever you use, and I baptize it in the name of Jesus. I just surrender it all to you, God. I can't seem to make sense of this, but I know you can help me. Like surrender it and then do the scary question. God, how high do you want my ceiling to be? Have you asked him? Have you talked with him and said, God, what would I be able to do here? God, what could I do? Would you pray? Second thing is this, study. Listen, we're in this series. We're in week six. It's going to be 8 weeks. 8 week series on multiply. It's about generosity and how God blesses those who are generous. I believe it's the key to living in God's blessing. We are barely scratching the surface. We could turn this into easy, a six-month series, you guys. I'm telling you, there is so much in God's word about generosity and giving and finance. We're not going to do that. But you can. And beyond just like doing your own Bible study, you know, there are so many like people who have dedicated their lives to this topic. There are so many good books and resources and videos and testimonies of what God has done through generosity. What if you took this next season? What if you took this next season and like maybe through the summer and said, God, I want to study what your word says about generosity and then actually how this has worked through history. Because I want to stretch. Bible talks so much about stretching our understanding and our knowledge. What about if we made an effort and said, God, this is a really important factor in my life, my finances. Maybe I should figure out what you have to say about that. Study. The third thing is this, and this one is kind of like the scary one, accountability. I want to ask you this, it's the scary question. Who do you have in your life that you would trust with your budget, with your bottom line? Here's what's coming in, here's what's going out, here's how it's coming in, here's how it's going out. But I really want to be more generous. I really want to like raise the level of my generosity. Could you like help me make sense of this? For some of you, you may have someone in your life like that already. Maybe some of you have like a really good friend who's a believer who's on this journey with you. Fantastic. But can I tell you, I believe that every single one of us should become accountable with our finances and not just accountable to ourselves. Now, for some, maybe that's finding a believer who's also like a financial planner or someone who could help with this, who's like used to seeing numbers, and your numbers aren't going to freak them out, right? But they would help you assess where you are, and if your goal is to be more generous, they're like, oh man, let's go there. Let me help you. Let me help you evaluate and assess. Find someone to be accountable to. Listen, this last week, Kelly and I took that step. We did it with our church council. People that you have selected out of our church body to like be people who will help oversee our finances. So they already know what Kelly and I earn. They set our salaries, right? We don't set our own, by the way. There's a church council that does that. And so we submitted to them, here is our budget. This is how much we receive. This is how much we're giving. They already knew how much we made. They didn't know how much we gave. I want to tell you, my church family, how much we give, just percentage, not dollars. Because I was a bit concerned. I really had not done the math in a while. Kelly and I give, out of our regular income, 15.4% of what comes in goes out. And I'm not sharing that with you as some like humble brag. Because so often I am under the conviction that we are not doing enough to raise the level of our generosity. But I am sharing it with you, one, to like stir you up in your faith. And I'm also doing it as a way to tell you that we've got skin in this game. And our number one place that we give is right here at the Santa Maria Four Score Church, just our regular offerings. I want to share this because I don't want to ever be like some pastor who's up here saying, you be generous, so that I can profit from your generosity. No, we are in this together as a church. And I want to introduce you as we close to one other person who's generous here. And so you're going to know two people at least that are like, we're in this. We're in this together. Rico, would you come on up? Would you please welcome Mr. Rico Lopez? Did you bring your own mic? Let's find one. Let's find a mic. There we go. Rico, I don't know typically how much people give. I actually don't know what you give. But I know that there are four families who are in that upper range. There's just four families. And I know that we're one of those families. And I know you're one of those families. And I want to thank you. I want to honor you for that. But we've talked about generosity. You and I have gotten together and chatted about it. And I know that you've had your own journey of generosity. You've done this math. And like, God, how, you know, where should we be? And you know, what's it going to take? So would you just take a moment and just share some of your generosity story with us, maybe encourage us, challenge us.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for asking me. I grew up in church, like many of us, a little different than Pastor Tim. I didn't grab the concept of giving or tithing at an early age. We went to church every Sunday, but we kind of put money in the plate, like paying the toll or paying the cover charge, like a couple bucks in the pocket, whatever mom or dad had before we left the house and threw that in a plate. And I kind of carried that with me into my teenage years, into my early 20s. Even as a young Christian in my early 20s, I was still like, I would give, all right, what do I have left in my bank account? All right, it was kind of last offerings, not the first offerings, and maybe it was 15 bucks went. And sometimes it was my last 15 bucks. I was like, okay, God, here's, I'm trusting with my last 15 bucks. And he still met me there, but I wasn't in a pattern of giving. And fast forward a couple years into my mid-20s, I was a young youth pastor, and I still hadn't developed a pattern of giving. Like, I was giving to myself. I was giving to my time. I was serving people. But I, in my heart, I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be with my giving. And my giving was very inconsistent. And I actually got sat down from my ministry and called on the carpet, sat down, said, you need to fix this. And at that point, I shared this with Pastor Tim. I realized I needed to fix this. And I determined in my heart, I'm going to fix this. What I said to Pastor Tim was, I determined that that wasn't going to be what took me out of ministry. I was like, there's many people who fail in ministry. I wasn't going to fail in ministry because of that. I might fail for something else. I haven't, but I might fail for something else, but I'm not going to fail for that. And I set that mark there. And I met a woman who was a giver. We got married. She's got a very giving heart. So we stayed in that pattern of giving. We determined, yeah, and weekly, regularly, writing the check. Now it's online. It goes online. But I just, and it's interesting, I hadn't really thought about it until we got into the series. I predetermined what we were going to give, looking at where we were at, predetermined. So it goes, and sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less, depending on what's coming, but it's what God has put on my heart to give. As far as that goes to the church, we give to missions, we give to other places. We're also, like, not just in the giving to, in finances, we like to give to our friends, we like to give to our family, we like to bless, and so that all comes out of that giving spirit. But I had to get there. I had to learn that sloppy habits weren't going to get me there. And again, it was a good thing I got sat down. It's a good thing I got called on the carpet and sat down at a young age and realized that my patterns, my habits weren't really where I was supposed to be. And it wasn't because there was some bar I had to hit. It was in my heart. I knew I wasn't. Like, I justified, you know, kind of justified at the time, like, oh, I'm giving the kids, I'm taking them out to lunch. But I knew in my heart I wasn't giving what God had called me to give. And I still, like, there's even talking to Pastor Tim about this before, I'm going, where am I not giving in other areas of my life that I need to be giving more? Is it my time? Is it my other resources? What other areas do I need to be challenged in giving? And just because I have a regular habit of giving finances, that's not it. I'm not done. I have to find other ways to continue to give. I think that's kind of most of what we talked about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, and just like the tag is like we gave through the hard times. We gave through the good times. Like we had, like most people have, we had bad marriage times. We gave. We had bad budget times. We gave. We had times we were in debt. We gave. We're past all those times. We're good marriage times. We're good finance times. And God is blessed.
Yeah.
That's the end, right? That's not why we do it, but we know that what happens. God continues to bless us, and I've shared with Pastor Tim and Kelly before, and some of my close friends, I never thought we would be in this financial place of our life that we are, but God has got us there. And my wife could tell their stories. There were times early in our marriage, she's like, we're not going to be able to retire. We're not going to be able to do anything. You know, my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, but when we first got engaged, her main thing about us getting married was pastors don't make money. And she didn't want her daughter marrying somebody who wasn't going to be able to provide. Before my mother-in-law passed away, she actually said, hey, you did a good job. You guys, I take it back. You did before.
That's God's blessing.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's God's blessing.
It's definitely God's blessing. Yeah. But yeah, we gave through the good. We gave through the bad, you know. And it was because it's not,
Lord.
Yeah, not because we were giving to get, but because it's what God put on our heart and
Rika, I want you to just close this out by praying for us.
Sure.
That we would excel in this grace of giving, that we'd really catch it, that we'd really understand, and we'd do the work, like, to grow as givers. And we're not receiving another offering today. This is not a ploy. This is This is our purpose. This is discipleship in the ways of Jesus.
Amen. Father God, we do thank you, Lord, that you are a provider.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you do bless us, that you do look down from heaven and take care of your children. Father, like Pastor Tim shared, our heart is to be givers, Lord. I pray for our body, for all who are here, all who aren't here, that you do, Lord, raise those ceilings, that you do identify ways that we can get better with our floor, Lord, figure out where the floor is, yeah. Raise the floor, and figure out where you want us to be, Lord. It's not a percentage. It's not a dollar amount, Lord. It's what you've said in our heart, Lord. And I pray that you give everybody that wisdom to predetermine how they're going to serve and follow you and give, Lord, and be generous in what they do. And not just talking finances, Lord, but in their time, to their neighbors, to their family, how can they be generous in how they live their life, Father God? It's not about money. We know it's about money. It gets deciphered into money, Lord, but it's about our generosity. It's about our heart. So, yeah. Father, I pray you do lead us in that. Lord, bless your people. Reveal things to them they have not yet seen, Lord. Yeah. Give them those people that they need. Give them those accountability people with wisdom, people who might see something they're missing, Lord, to help them in their journey. Lord, I thank you for all that, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rico. Say hi to Rico. Thank you. Give him a hug on the way out. Say, can I be accountable to you? You figured this out. We need people who've kind of figured it out, who can help us. Friends, you are so valued and appreciated. Jesus loves you. I do too. Have a great week. Go be generous.